Today's daf is Kuf Yubet. We're going to have an interesting daf. We're going to finish off the parak, the 13th parak, and then we're going to start the 14th parak, which is the final parak of Zevachim. At this point, maybe I should just say I'm going away starting Monday until the following Wednesday, so there won't be shirim, and unfortunately we won't finish Zevachim together. So there will not be any shirim from Monday through Wednesday. Wednesday, a week later, and we'll pick up again Thursday the 16th. Okay, but there's still shir today and there's shir on Sunday. So what's interesting about the daf is that we're going to have, once we start, if you can see already in the middle of Kuf Yubet, Amud Aleph is the beginning of the 14th parak, we're going to have the entire Mishnayot of the parak today. So it's going to be basically a shir of Mishnah, which, you know, since we won't be learning a lot of it together, maybe it'll be helpful that we at least learn all the Mishnayot together. Okay. So let's just review the previous Mishnah that we ended with yesterday. Chatat shekibel dama bekos echad. You have a karban chatat, and all the blood is in one cup. Right, we're going to have cases where it was one cup versus two cups. Natam b'chutz v'chazar v'natam b'fnim. If first you did the blood outside and then you brought it inside, or b'fnim b'chazar v'natam b'chutz, or first you did the blood inside and then you brought it back outside, both those cases you'd be chayav on chutz. The first case is obvious because first you took it outside. That's clear. The second case we're going to see is Rabbi Nechemia's opinion that the shirayim, whatever's left in the cup, are going to have a problem of halat chutz. We saw there was a debate about that because the shirayim potentially aren't ma'akev. If they're not ma'akev, then we saw that they shouldn't be chayav and shchutei chutz because they're not so critical. Shekula ra'oi bifnim, because the whole thing is ra'oi bifnim. Kibel, because in both those cases, when you did it b'chutz, it was ra'oi to be offered bifnim. Kibel daba b'shtei kosot, right? In the first case, it was ra'oi bifnim to do the sprinkling of the blood. In the second case, it was ra'oi to pour the shirayim onto the yesod of the mizbech. Kibel daba b'shtei kosot, but if you accept it in two different cups, natan shnehem bifnim patur. If both of them were brought inside, obviously, or patur, we said that was an unnecessary statement because there's no chutz. Shnehem b'chutz chayav. If you bring both cups outside, you're going to be chayav for halat chutz on both of them, because both of them, once you pour the first one, well, then the second one, in theory, is still right where to be poured inside. Since you dump the first cup outside, then you have the second one, which can be poured inside. And then when you pour that outside, then you've ruined that one also, so you're chayav on both. Echa bifnim ve'echa b'chutz patur. If you do one inside and then you do the other one outside, you're going to be patur. And we said that's because it's considered dachui. Since you chose one cup over the other and you already performed the mitzvah, the shirayim are only, again, we're going to see there's a machloket about this, but the second cup is not considered shirayim. It's considered what was dachui. In other words, we had two cups and we chose one. We rejected the other, so it's rejected. And therefore, it can't be offered up inside, and therefore, outside, you're going to be patur. Echa b'chutz ve'echa bifnim. If you have one outside first, and then you do one inside. So, chayav alachitzon, the first cup that you took outside, you're going to be chayav, because at that point, you could have poured it inside. And then the pnimi, the second one that you now bring in, that you now do inside, is mechaper. We don't say, oh, that's disqualified, because the first cup was disqualified. We don't view the two cups as one whole. And therefore, when you do that one inside, you've actually fulfilled your obligation. Lema davar domeh. What's this similar to? Lema frish chatatova avda. You take a korban chatat, you separate the animal, and then you lose the animal. Vifrish acher tachteh, you choose a different animal in its place. Vachar kach nimtzei tarishona, and then you find the first one before you sacrifice the second one. Vareshtein omdot. So now they're both in front of you. Shachat shtehem bifnim patur. If you do both of them inside, then you're going to be patur from halat chutz, because obviously there's nothing to talk about. Shtehem b'chutz chayav. If you do both of them outside, you're going to be chayav. Why? Because each one, it's just like the blood. Each one could have been offered. The first one could have been offered, and instead you did it outside. Now that that one can't be used inside because you already offered it up outside, the second one could potentially be brought inside. And now when you bring it outside, you're responsible for that. Echad bifnim ve'achat b'chutz, patur. Right now, if you have one inside and then you do one outside, you're going to be exempt because you already did one inside. And now the next one, and this is going to be the important case, we're going to see the one that you didn't use is now rejected. And what has to happen? It's like it's rejected. And what has to happen to it? We say meta, has to be killed. And something that's meta, you're not allowed to offer up on the mizbech. But it's not, and it's, you can't offer it up, but it's not halat chutz, right? Since you can't offer it up on the mizbech inside, therefore it's not halat chutz. Achat b'chutz ve'achat b'fnim. If you do one inside and one outside first, and then you do the other one inside, so like the other case, you're chayav al chitzonah, the first one you're chayav chutz, v'apnimit mechaperet, and the second one works inside to get the kapara, the atonement. Okay, fine, we'll skip the... Kashem shedama poteret psara, kachi poteret psar chavrata, that we had to say was a din of me'ila. Once you sprinkle the blood, then the meat is allowed. Likewise, it's going to exempt the other from having a din of me'ila. Okay. Bishlama b'chutz, b'chazar v'natam b'fnim. So the Gemara starts off with the bishlama. Bishlama is a structure where we say, we have a list of a bunch of things. A bunch of things make sense to us, or maybe one thing makes sense to us, and something else doesn't make sense to us. Okay, we understand one case, we don't understand the other, or it could be we understand a number of cases, but we don't understand the other. And the structure will always be bishlama, this makes sense, mistader shalem, it works, and ella, something doesn't make sense, and then we're going to have a resolution, how we can make it make sense. It's one of those questions that always has a resolution. Bishlama b'chutz v'chazar v'natam b'fnim, shekulo ra'oi liyot b'fnim. If you say, first you do the outside one, and then you do, and then you bring, right, just one second, we're talking here about the two cups, I believe, right? I'm trying to remember now where we're starting from. No, this is the first cup, right? Okay, so if we take the first cup outside, and then we bring the rest inside, no, one second, I'm trying to remember which case this is. Yeah, it's the same, it's one cup, okay? You take one cup, you have it outside, and then you bring it inside. So, shekulo ra'oi liyot bifnim. Okay, that case, right, b'chutz v'chazar v'natam bifnim, you're going to be chayav. Because when you brought it outside, right, it was kulo ra'oi liyot bifnim. You could have brought the entire cup inside. Aval bifnim v'he'la b'chutz. But if you first brought it inside and you poured the blood, and then you brought it outside, what did we say? You're chayav. Why? Shirayim ninhu. But that's just the remainder. And if it's the remainder, you'd have to say, Hamane Rabbi Nechemyahi, that this Mishnah must match only Rabbi Nechemyah's opinion. Da'amar shayarei adam shekrivam b'chutz chayav. Okay? You'd have to say that the Mishnah is Rabbi Nechemyah because he's the only one who said that the shirayim are considered offering the shirayim outside, you're going to be chayav. But if you don't offer the shirayim outside, then you're not chayav. I'm sorry, no, I didn't mean to say that. I meant that if you, according to the other opinion, the shirayim are not a critical part of the korban, and therefore, if you do them outside, you're not going to be chayav for halat chutz. So now they say, but there's a problem if we say Rabbi Nechemyah. Because Rabbi Nechemyah ema seifa, the seifa doesn't seem to follow Rabbi Nechemyah's opinion. Why? The seifa, which is talking about two kosot, kibel damah b'shnei kosot, natan shnehem bifnim patur, shnehem b'chutz chayav, echad bifnim v'echad b'chutz patur. And ha'amar Rabbi Nechemyah, shayare adam shikrivam b'chutz chayav. He says if you have left over, here he means the second cup, according to Rabbi Nechemyah, the second cup, and as we're going to say, isn't the second cup shirayim? In other words, we're going to say, when you have one cup and you leave over the remainder, right? What do we say? Rabbi Nechemyah says, that's shirayim, and if you do it outside, you're chayav. When you have two cups, right now, even though I explained the Mishnah saying it's not shirayim, the Gemara right now thinks that two cups is also shirayim. So what's left over in the second cup, since you used the first cup, and now you take the second cup outside, the Mishnah said you're not chayav in that case because it's dachoy, or that's how we explain the Mishnah. But now they're saying, isn't that also shirayim? And doesn't Rabbi Nechemyah say that shirei adam shekrivam b'chutz chayav? So what they're saying is not just that the Reisha matches Rabbi Nechemyah and the Seifa doesn't, but almost you could even say there's a contradiction within the Mishnah itself, because one seems to say shirayim in one cup is a problem outside, and shirayim in two cups is not a problem outside. So now they're going to say Seifa atan l'tanakama de Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. The Seifa matches the Tanakama who argues with Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon. Damar kos oseh dichoy l'chaviro. Okay, Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon held that when you have two cups and you pour the blood of one, the rest of the blood in the other cup is shirayim. And the Tanakama there disagreed with him and said, no, that's not shirayim. So now we're going to say that our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Nechemyah, who distinguishes between shirayim in one cup versus shirayim in two cups. Shirayim in two cups, he doesn't call shirayim. Shirayim in two cups, the leftover in the second cup is called dachoy. It's rejected. That matches Tanakama in this argument that he has with the Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And then we're going to say that basically the Tanakama there must be Rabbi Nechemya. In other words, the Tanakama that disagrees with Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon must be Rabbi Nechemya, because he holds shirayim is chayav and halat chutz, and yet he doesn't hold it here because it must be he holds that's not shirayim. Okay. Lema davar domeh. So now we get to what's this similar to? Lema frish chatatova avda v'frish acher tachtev achar kachlin tzeda rishona. So the Gemara says, lema davar domeh lamali. Why do you need to start making this comparison? So before they explain, they say, or in order to explain, they start with this. Ha mane rebihi. Again, just like the other part was part of a machloka tana'im, and we're saying it only matches one opinion. Also, in this area, we're going to say it's according to Rebbe. What does Rebbe say? Avuda bishat hafrasha meta. Right? He says if it's lost at the time that you... Okay, this is actually missing some words, but Rebbe's opinion is really, if you... I'll read you the whole thing. Chatat shenevda, if you have a chatat that gets lost, v'frish tachta, and you take a different one in its stead. Af al pisha lo hayta avuda ela b'shat hafrasha v'lifnei hakrovat hashniyah nimtzeit harishona. In other words, there's two different times that you could actually find the second one. You could find the second one once you already sacrificed the first, and you could say that the halakha of meita is only in that case. Or you could say, which is what Rabbi says, which is even if you find the first one, which matches our Mishnah, even if you find the first one at an early stage, meaning before you even shechted, because that's what the Armisha said, hayushteim omdin omdot v'shachat shteihem b'fnei, right? In other words, you then shech them. So even if you find it before you shecht the first one and you have both in front of you, still we're going to say it goes out and gets killed. Okay, now why is this relevant to why did we bring this here? V'hachi kamar. And this is really what the Mishnah is telling us. Now this is a classic case of the Mishnah is telling us one thing, but to the Gemara, it doesn't make any sense. Why would the Mishnah be telling us this? In other words, you could simply say that the Mishnah is giving you two examples of the same type thing, and, you know, it's always a nice method, a pedagogical method of bringing a comparison to something very similar. But the Gemara says the Mishnah wouldn't do that unless it had a point. And since they can't find a point in the direct case, it must be from something we can infer from the Mishnah, is must be what the Mishnah is trying to tell us, which is what? So that's if it got lost. But what if what if you took two chata'ot from the beginning? You want to bring a korban chata'ot, and you're worried. What if one gets lost? So from the beginning, you say, I'm designating these two animals for this korban chata'ot. Now, obviously, you're not going to sacrifice both for the korban chata'ot. So what's going to happen? You're going to bring one, right? You have the second one as backup in case it gets lost. But assuming it doesn't get lost, what happens to the second one? So the halacha is, not meta. There's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that the chatat is meta. That's something we learn halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So what we're going to say here is that the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is only in the case where you designate one and then it gets lost and then you designate another in its stead. But if from the beginning you designate two, then the second one we say yiru ad shi yistavu. We put it in an area until it gets a mum. Once it gets a moom, we sell it. We then take the money and we buy an animal for a korban ola. Which basically means, what we're going to say is, that animal is actually ra'oi for a korban ola. Okay? In which case, it's not going to be, what are we going to say now? It's not going to be dachoy. Because even though this animal does get dachoy, because we have to leave it until it gets a moom, if you were to actually, we're going to see this in a minute, but I'm just kind of prefacing it so that we understand all the issues. If you were to sacrifice that animal without redeeming it, without waiting till it gets a moment redeeming it, b'di'eved, you can do that because it's really designated as an ola. Even though it's interesting, you designate it from the beginning as a chatat, but since you know that you're not going to bring both, they both have, in theory, potential to be an ola. Okay? So, therefore, we're going to say that what the Mishnah is teaching us is only b'shat avuda b'shat hafrasha meta, right? But tama da'avda, only if it got lost. But ha'yifrish techata'ot l'achrayut, if you separate it from the beginning, two chata'ot to make sure you didn't get stuck. Chada minayu me'ikara olehi, one of them from the beginning is really a korban ola. Uchid Rav Huna Amar Rav, Dam Rav Huna Amar Rav, And it's like what Rav Huna Marav says, because what does he say? Asham shenitak l'raya. Now here he's not talking about our case, but he's talking about a different case, and it's usually the chatat is meita, and an asham, if it got lost and you designated a different one in its place and then you found the original one, what would you say? It doesn't have to die. That's only a unique demon by the chatat. It's yiru ad shistavu. The same exact thing that we're saying about two chataot that you're mafrish l'achrayut. In which case, we're going to learn from one to the other. Since in asham nitak l'raya, according to Rav Huna Amar Rav, ushchato stam kasher la'ola, if you shechted it, stam, in other words, you're supposed to leave it to graze, but you didn't leave it to graze to get a mum, and you slaughtered it right away, it's kasher la'ola. It works as an ola. In other words, ideally, you're supposed to wait till it gets a mum, redeem it, and why? Why do you have to do that? Because it was actually designated for a different type of korban. Even though in your head, you knew that maybe it'll be an ola, but so it's this in-between, because you really designated as an asham. On the other hand, you knew since you were putting two as an, you know, since you were designated the asham only because you lost the other one, you know, we can, in order to switch its purpose, we need to do this process. But really, it can originally go for an ola, it can, in theory, go for an ola, and therefore, just like he says that by the asham, we can say the same thing by the chatan. And therefore, what we're going to say is like this. Our Mishnah said, brought this case of the chatat, basically to teach you that it's only a din for a chatat shavda. However, if it was a chatat that you were mafrish shtayim la'achrayut, then we wouldn't call that second one dachoy. What would happen? That second one, since it's ra'oy la'ola, and since Rav Huna in the name of Rav says by an asham, that if it was supposed to graze and you didn't, and you offered up as ola, it would work. Therefore, if you took the second chatat that you were mafrish la'achrayut, and what did you do? You didn't leave it to graze, and you didn't offer it up inside, but what did you do? You took it outside, and you did halat chutz, you'd be chayav. Because in theory, you could have done it inside. That's what it's coming to teach you. Right? A little off the pshat of the Mishnah, but that's what they're trying to tell you. So now, again, you have to remember how the process worked. We said, inference from the Mishnah, chatat shavda, which comes to exclude the case of chatat that was la'achrayut, the milchatchila, you set, designated it. And then we had to use what Rav Huna said, which is that when it comes to an asham that was nitak l'raya, we could say that if you shechted it without leaving it to graze, it would count as an ola, which would then teach us to the chatat, which would then teach us chatat to la'achrayut, you be chayav an halat chutz. So now they say, midami, how can you compare the asham case to the chatat case? Why? Hatam asham zachar v'ola zachar. Aval chatat nekevehi. You can't possibly take a female chatat and then say that's going to work for your ola. Of course it has to have this in-between process where we leave it out to graze and then redeem it and then buy a new animal, because a chatat's always a female animal and an ola is always a male animal. So how could you possibly say that that's the case? So what are the answer? Avachatat nekevehi. I'm sorry, so that's what they say. So how could you possibly say that we can learn from Rav Huna in this case of an asham to the chatat? Because there's no way you could say this chatat was designated as an ola when a chatat is female and an ola is male. Amar Rabbi Chiya, but now he's going to answer it. Mi Yustinia, it's Rabbi Chiya from this place, not the regular Rabbi Chiya. B'seir nasi. There's one case of a chatat, now we're getting even more remote. There's one case of a chatat, the se'ir that the nasi brings, im nasi achta, brings a se'ir, which is a male animal. For that case, that's what this all comes to teach you. It comes to teach you that if the nasi designated tula achrayut, then, right, you can imagine the nasi would, he's wealthy, he's got money, right, he can afford to designate two animals, then, right, then again, that would be the case that's excluded from our Mishnah. Then in that case, you would be chayav an halat chutz. And as opposed to the Mishnah, which says you wouldn't be, because in our Mishnah it was talking about a one that got lost and not tula, and not we designated l'achrayut, and that's the conclusion. Hadron alach hashochef amale. Okay, so we took this Mishnah a little bit far out. Okay, now like I said, the rest of this is all going to be Mishnah. Parat chatat. What's a parat chatat? That's the para aduma. It's called the chatat, but it's the para aduma. Para aduma shesrafa chutz migita. They call the area where they burnt the para, it's like a gat, a wine press, or, right, the gat is, right, the bat is it's the wine press, which is basically like a place deep in. They would do it, they would take care of the slaughtering it in this little pit, but where did they do it? They didn't do the shechita in the mikdash. Remember, they do it outside the Har HaBayit. So the parat chatat shesarfa chutz mi, and I'm sorry, they would burn it in this pit, not shechtim. I'm sick. They would burn it in this pit. So the burning of it, right? Because then they want to get the ashes. Probably they did it in a pit so that the ashes didn't go all over the place. So they burn it outside the area where they're supposed to do it. The Gemara is going to explain exactly where the what this gita is. Bechein se'ir mishtaleach she'ekriv b'chutz. And remember, we talked about this. What if you shecht? You don't shecht the se'ir mishtaleach. You're supposed to throw it over the cliff. But if you shechted it, right? Okay. Then if you slaughtered it b'chutz, you're going to be patur. Both these cases, you're patur because neither of them were supposed to be done in the azarat. So you're not going to be chayav for halat chutz. It's only, right, we're going to see shenemar. Why is it only things? El petach olma eid lo havio. It's only, you're only chayav, the psukim said, if you didn't bring it to the petach olma eid. And these obviously are not going to petach olma eid in any case. Kol she'ein ro'oi lavo al petach olma eid, ein chayavin alav. Anything that's not supposed to go opposite the olma eid, which means in the azara, you're not chayavin alav. Now we're going to have more exceptions. Harovea v'hanirba v'hamuksa v'ne'eva v'hamachir v'ha'etnan. We've seen all these categories before. V'akilayim v'atrefa v'yotzei dofen. All these are pasul korbanot. They're animals that engage in sexual relations, bestiality with a person, or nearby was kind of raped by a human. V'hamuktze, an animal that was designated for use for avodah zarah, v'anevad, it was actually worshipped for avodah zarah, v'amechir, you used the money that you sold from selling a dog, which you're not allowed to do, and ha'etnan, you're not allowed to use prostitution money for buying a korban. V'hakilayim, and if it was a crossbreed of an animal, v'hatrefa, which was about to die, v'yotzei dofen, and it came out by a C-section, not by a natural birth. All of those, shekrivam b'chutz patur, these are not ra'oi, and therefore if you bring them outside, you're not going to be chayav. Shenemar, it said in that pasuk, I'll read you the whole thing now, bel petach ha'moed lo avio, lahakriv korban lahashem, lifnei mishkan Hashem. What does it say? These were done before mishkan Hashem, the place where God dwells. Kol she'ein ra'oi lavo lifnei mishkan Hashem, en chayavin alav. So anything that's not ra'oi to go lifnei mishkan Hashem, therefore they're not chayav for. Because again, that was the whole pasuk where it said you're going to be chayav. And the continuation of that pasuk is dam yechashev la'ishahu dam shafach b'nichrat ha'ishahu mikerav amo. So you're only going to be chayav halat chutz if it fits into that category that you were supposed to do it before al moed. You're supposed to do it lifnei mishkan Hashem, and these couldn't have come anyway there. Ba'alei mumim. Okay, so what about ba'alei mumim that also can't? Bein ba'alei mumim fu'im, bein ba'alei mumim ovrin. Whether they're ones that are set for life, they're going to be there for life, or they're going to go away. Shekrivam b'chutz patur. But here there's a debate. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ba'alei mumim fu'im patur. If they're never going away, then you're exempt from halat chutz. Ba'alei mumim ovrin, but if they're going to pass, chayav b'lo ta'aseh. You're chayav in a lo ta'aseh. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain on Kufu Dalet, so we'll get to it on Sunday, what's the lo ta'aseh. In other words, he's going to say, you're not chayav karet, usually you get karet, but you are chayav a lo ta'aseh. We're going to see on Sunday what the lo ta'aseh is. Torin shelo igia zmanam. Okay, a tor has to be a certain minimum age. And a b'nei yonah, right, these are the types of birds that they would bring as sacrifices. The b'nei yonah has to be under a certain age. So what if you had a tor that didn't yet arrive at its age, it's not the right age yet, and b'nei yonah sh'avar zmanam, they're too old, the b'nei yonah, shekrivam b'chutz, you're going to be patur, because again, these can't be offered up on the mizbech. Rabbi Shimon Omer, like he said with the Baal Mumim Ovrim, he's going to say the same thing here. B'nei yonah sh'avar zmanam, if they're too old, patur, right, you busted, you went over, right, but if torin shelo igia zmanam, they haven't yet reached their time, then it's only a lo ta'aseh. Because there, it eventually will be okay, right? And that's why we're going to actually say there's going to be a lo ta'aseh here, okay? You're not going to be chayav karet, it's not all the way, but it's this in-between where we're going to say you're chayav a lo ta'aseh, okay? Just like the Baal Mum, they're both cases where at some point they'll be ra'oi. So since at some point they'll be ra'oi, therefore we're going to maybe chayav you something. Otova et bino, this is you're not allowed to sacrifice an animal and its son on the same day. So what if you did? Umechusar zman, we're going to see, in a minute, there's two types of mechusar zman. Okay, either it's there's the animal, right? It's b'mikvo b'mbalav, right? And so The mechusa zman bebaalav is that you brought your korban too early. Okay, we'll talk about the cases in a minute, so I'll hold off on that. And mechusar zman is like an animal that is not yet the right age. Patur. Rabbi Shimon omer, hareze belo tase. Okay, same thing. Rabbi Shimon says, no, all these things since otov et beno, you can sacrifice the animal the next day. Right, you can sacrifice one this today and the son the next day. You can sacrifice the mechusar zman, you can't sacrifice today, but you might be able to tomorrow or when it gets to the right time. Rabbi Shimon omer, kol shehu ra'oi lavo la'achar zman, anything that eventually will become okay, harei zeh belo taseh. Therefore, if you do it outside, you're going to be chayav in a lo taseh, ve'ein bo karet. Okay, and you're not going to get karet. V'chachamim omerim, kol she'ein bo karet, ein bo lo taseh. It's either all or nothing. Either it has karet, or it doesn't have anything. There's no such thing as a lo taseh. Now we're going to explain mechusar zman, bein begufo, bein beba'alav, whether it's the animal itself is mechusar zman, or the owner itself is mechusar zman. Ezu mechusar zman bebaalav. There's all sorts of people that have to bring korbanot on a particular day, right? Usually it's the eighth day, except for one case we'll see it's not. Hazav v'hazava v'yoledet v'mitzora. Okay, so the zav, remember, he's 7 days he's a zav, and on the eighth day brings his korban. The zava, same thing. The yoledet, it's after her 40 days of she has the Yemei Tum'ah, 7 days for a boy, and then 33 days after that, her Dam Tohar. After that, she brings her Korban, so after 40 days after childbirth, and for a girl, it's 80 days. It's 14 plus 66. Veha Mitzora, and the Mitzora also is supposed to bring it on the eighth day. Shekrivu Chatatam, I'm surprised they didn't bring the Nazir here. The Nazir could have been another example. Shekrivu Chatatam Va'ashamam Bachutz. Okay, now most of these people have to bring Chatat and Asham and Ola and Shlamim. Okay, depending on who it is, there's some sort of combination of those. So if it's their Chatat and their Asham and they brought them Bachutz before their time, Pturim. Okay, then they're not Chayav. Why? Because the Chiyuv of the Chatat and the Asham only kicks in on day number 8 or day number 40 or, 41 or 60 or 81. But olotehen ushlamehem bachutz chayavim. But the ola and shlamim, since the ola and shlamim in theory are sacrifices you could bring voluntarily, if you wanted to just decide to offer one randomly, so therefore when they take their ola and shlamim that they were supposed to sacrifice for whatever purpose, and it wasn't, let's say it's the third day, and they were supposed to do it on the eighth day, and they took it and sacrificed an ola and shlamim outside on the eighth day, on the third day, that's going to be chayav, because in theory they could have sacrificed it inside on that day, because in olam shlamim they can bring as a voluntary offering. So therefore, all those are going to be chayav, but not for the chatat and the asham, which only you could only bring a chatat and asham if you're chayav, and they weren't chayav it at that point. They were only chayav it after. It's interesting that they don't mention. It just dawned on me. We had learned earlier in the Masechet that in theory, you could bring an asham. If you brought an asham and you weren't chayav, you could say, or maybe we talked about it with the chatat, I can't remember now which one, maybe with both in theory, that there's nobody who doesn't have a sin. In other words, in theory, it could atone for something, so, but still they don't say that, because generally we don't bring it voluntarily. Also here, he had designated it for something in particular and then used it too early, so it's clear that it was designated for that. Hama'alemi besar chatat. Okay, these are now all things, we're going to see the whole list, of things that the Kohen or the person who sacrificed the animal is allowed to eat, right? The basar chatat, the Kohen eats, and isn't supposed to burn on the mizbech. Basar asham, also the Kohen eats. Basar kodshe kodshim, the Kohen eats. Basar kodshim kalim, the people who sacrifice it eat. Umotar haomer, the part of the omer, right, we sacrifice part of it, the minchata omer, but the rest, the Kohen gets to eat. Ushtei alechem, which are the two breads that go with the korban on Shavuot that the Kohen eats. Velechem apanim, that go to the Kohanim of that week, right? The mishmar, when they finish, they get the lechem apanim. Ushayarei menachot, and after you do the kmitza, whatever's left of the mincha, the Kohanim get to eat. Vehayotzek, okay, so those you're not going to be chayav for. And also the following things. Hayotzek, if you do the following, okay, it's interesting, they don't really separate here. Like it would have been smart if it had said here, your patur, okay? Now we're going to have all different actions that you do that are not, that's why this is a bit of a different category. What have we talked about? Shchita your chayav, if you do bachutz, and ha'ala'ah, the burning. So now we're going to see all sorts of acts. If you do them b'chutz, even though you're supposed to do them b'fneim, and you do them b'chutz, you're actually not chayav for them. And that's because we learned before that it has to be avodah tama. It has to be the avodah that finishes the act. Okay? And therefore, these are not finishing. These are in the middle. So now a bunch of them, we're going to talk about the mincha. If you're yotzeik, you pour the oil into the flour mixture. Hapotet, right? I think there's a word missing here. No, maybe not. Okay, hapotet is when you break it into pieces. Habolel, you mix it. Hamolech, you salt either a korban or the mincha. They would put salt on it. Hamenifa, hamegish, if you're supposed to do hanafa, you wave it and you offer it. You bring it closer to the. That's by the mincha. You bring it to the mizbeach. V'hamasaderet hashulchan u'metivet hanerot. You set up the lechem apanim on the table, right? The shulchan, or you set up the candles. V'hakomet. You take the kmitza. V'hamekabel damim. You accept the blood. We always say those are two in the same, right? The kmitza is like mekabel damim. Bachutz patur. You're not chayav on any of those things if you do them outside, right? Interesting to think about. They'd be setting up the shulchan lechem apanim outside. Right, it's hard to think about because it was always sitting in the heichal. But they're saying, technically speaking, if one were to do that, you'd be patur. Because those are not acts that are avodat tama. They don't finish anything. They're just in the middle of the process. And therefore, you're not chayav. Ein chayavin alav lo mishum zarut, v'lo mishum tum'ah, v'lo mishum mechusar begadim. Okay, now we're moving to the bamot, okay? Is you're not chayav when it comes to bamot. Okay, we're now going to have a bunch of mishnayot that are discussing the bamot, okay, which again are places that you do things outside the mikdash. Just want to check one thing here. Right. This is referring to all the acts that we just talked about, the bolel, yotzek, potet, all those things that we just mentioned. You're also not going to get, right, we're going to get to the bamot in a minute, sorry, my confusion. You're not going to be chayav in all those things if a zar does them, okay? In other words, normally, if a zar does the avoda, what does it say? Hazara karev yumat. So again, they're going to say that's only for the finishing acts is going to get mitah. Now, of course, it's forbidden for a zar to do any of these things. But if a zar does them, he's not going to get the death penalty. He only gets the death penalty for the final act. Okay? So therefore, you're not chayav mishum zarut, v'lo mishum tum'ah, and not if you did it when you're tameh. Again, you should get karet for that, but you're not. V'lo mishum mechusar begadim, if the kohen does it without his clothes. V'lo, well, hopefully he's wearing some clothes, but the special kohen clothing. V'lo mishum richutz yadayim v'raglayim. Not right, that's tricky, but v'lo mishum shelo richutz yadayim v'raglayim. The kohen has to wash his hands and his, right? He has to wash his hands and his feet before he does it. This actually comes from a pasuk. What's the pasuk? I thought I wrote it down. I guess not. Okay. There's a pasuk there which indicates why it would be also not chayav azar. I've forgotten what it is. 1 second. Lo michutz yadayim v'raglayim. No, Rashi doesn't say it. Okay. Anyway, you're not chayav for not washing. Ad shalohu kama mishk. Okay, so now, fine. You're not chayav for all those things if you did any of those in-between acts in the following state. You weren't a kohen, you were a kohen, but you were tameh, you were a kohen, you didn't have your special kohen clothes, and you didn't do washing your hands and feet. Whereas if you did them, if you were in that state of mind or state of being when you offered the sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash, then you'd be chayav. The death penalty. Now we're going to talk a whole bunch of Mishnayot, which all talk about what happened before, you know, what. Let's talk about Bamot, when they were allowed to do Bamot, when they weren't allowed to do Bamot. A bit of a history lesson here. Ad shelohu kama Mishkan, before the Mishkan was set up, hayu habamot mutarot vavodah bebechorot. Okay, I kind of said something maybe a little not correct yesterday. I said they didn't really sacrifice before Matan Torah, but they actually at Matan Torah, if you remember, there was this whole thing right before they did the Mishkan. After Matan Torah, there was a small period of time where, remember, the Bechorim offered up sacrifices. They offered up sacrifices, and they claim it was the Bechorim who did it. It was Narei B'nai Israel, and they say it was the Bechorim. So they say before the Mishkan was set up, the Bamot were Mutarot, you could do it anywhere, and the Avodah was with the firstborns. Umishu kama Mishkan, but as soon as the Mishkan was set up, Nesru Abamot Vavodah B'Kohanim. As soon as the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar, you weren't allowed to sacrifice anything outside of the Mishkan, and the Avodah was all done by Kohanim. And additionally, Kodesh Kodeshim Nechalim Lifnim Minaklaim, right, inside the curtains, right, the curtained off area, which is parallel to the Azara in the Beit HaMikdash. V'kodeshim Kalim B'chol Machane Yisrael. You're allowed to eat in all Machane Yisrael, which we've said many times. Machane Yisrael is parallel to, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, right, Machane Yisrael in the Midbar was very simple. That was where the Jews were camped. That Machane Yisrael in the time of the Beit HaMikdash is all of Yerushalayim. And that's why when you eat Shlamim, they have to be in Yerushalayim, Maser Sheni, in Yerushalayim. They're all the Kodeshim Kalim. Bawa LeGilgal, okay, that was the first place they got to in Eretz Yisrael. Hutru Habamot, okay, what did they do when they got to Gilgal? They set up, okay, this doesn't say this, but they set up a Mishkan. Now, even though they set up a Mishkan there, a temporary Mishkan, right? And obviously they set up a Mishkan, they were carrying the Mishkan with them all through the desert, they get to Gilgal, they set up the Mishkan, and yet Hutru Habamot, but yet you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to sacrifice in the Bamot, and therefore, Kodesh Kodeshim, we'll get to this in a minute, why that is, Kodesh Kodeshim Nechalim Lifnim Minaklaim, Kodesh Kodeshim still have to be eaten within the walls of the Mishkan, Kodeshim Kalim B'chol Makom, but Kodeshim Kalim can be eaten anywhere, because, what's the issue? There's no Machanot now. There's no, nobody's camped, nobody, there is no Machane Israel, they haven't conquered the land yet. So right now we're talking about the 14 years that it took them to conquer Eretz Israel, even though they didn't conquer everything at that point, but the most of it. And what's the difference between the Mishkan there and the Mishkan later, or the Mishkan before in the desert? So there's two potential answers given as to why Bamot were allowed. One is that there were no Machanot. So there's only Isur Bamot when there's Machanot, and there's only Isur to Halat Chutz when there's Bamot. Why? Why did the Pasuk say? Do you remember? It said, B'machaneh, U'michutz l'machaneh. Remember it had all that, we had to darshan those words? It's all only when there is a Machaneh. When there's no Machaneh, there's nothing to talk about. Another answer given is that the Aron was not in the Mishkan. Why? The Aron went out to war with them, and they were having wars all the time. Later, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, it's true the Aron went out to wars. Remember, then it got taken away. But then the Aron was based in the Mishkan. It just, right, just like in the Midbar, it was based in the Mishkan. There also was based in Shiloh. But when they went out to war, they went out to war. But here, they were at war all the time. They never even brought the Aron into the Mishkan. That's what they claim. Okay, and the Aron was not in the Mishkan, and therefore, maybe it didn't have the same type of sanctity that it would have if the Aron was there. So those are two possible answers given as to why.
Okay,
then Bao the Gilgal, true. Okay. Bao the Shiloh, Nesrua Bamot. So now they get to Shiloh and they set up the Mishkan with the Aron. Velo hayasham tikra, ela beit avanim bilvad, milamatan, vayiriyot milamalan. Okay, it didn't have a roof, it was made of rocks, as opposed to in the Mishkan, in the time of Moshe, where it was with wood, okay? And there were yiriyot milamala, right? They had this covering at the top, but it wasn't like a real roof. V'hi ayta minucha, and this was the minucha. And what does the minucha have to do with anything? Because the psukim say, in Dvarim Yud Bet, okay, these are important psukim to read in this context. In Dvarim Yud Bet, one second, I'm opening it. It says here, that you have to go worship Hashem, but makom asher yivchar lasum et shmosham. I'm skipping a few words here and there. You should bring your olot v'zivchehem, your maaser, all that. V'achaltem sham lefnei Hashem lokechem. Okay, then it says lo ta'asum kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol yashar beinav. You can't just do whatever you want. Ki lo batem ad ata ela menucha ve'ela nachala asher Hashem lokechem noten lach. Here you haven't yet gotten to the menucha and the nachala. So what do they say? That's why they use the word minucha here. Because then when they got to Shiloh, that was the minucha. The minucha is that they finished all their work, right? It's like minucha of Shabbat. They finished all their work of conquering. Now they were settled. Okay? Ela minucha ve'ela nachala. And that's what he's saying. In other words, now you can do whatever you want, but once you get to the minucha nachala, then you can't, right? Then you can't do whatever you want. Okay? Then it's going to be v'hayam b'kom asher yivchar Hashem l'shken shmo sham shama taviyu et kol asher anochi b'zaveh etchem, your olot, your zvachim, etc. Okay, so those are the psukim they talk about, and they talk about the minucha. Okay, because so then So once they're now in the Shiloh, Kodshe Kodshim Nechalim Lefanim Nechlaim. So you have to eat Kodshe Kodshim only within the walls, which anyway is the case even in the Bamot. Kodshim Kalim Umaser Sheni Bechol HaRoeh. Now, there's no Yerushalayim. So what's considered the Yerushalayim area, the Machaneh Israel? So what do they say? Anywhere that you can see the Mishkan, Shiloh, that's going to be considered. This is like by, where do you see Roeh? Megillah, right? Who reads Megillah? What day? If you could see Yerushalayim, right? There's all these dinim. Samoch, Roeh. Okay. Ba'oli Nova Givon. Okay. Then the Mishkan moved from there to Nova Givon. That's why I said there's a history lesson. Hutru Habamot. Then again, right? There was no longer a central. It wasn't as big a Bama anymore. And you were allowed to have Bamot. Kodshe Kodshim Nechalim Lefnim Nakla'im. Kodshim Kalim B'kol Arei Israel. Now it's a little different than the earlier one because then we said, right, now we say it's Kodshe Kalim in all, well, the truth is it's really the same because they're also, you were able to eat them anywhere. Also, now you could eat them anywhere. Ba'oli Yerushalayim. Once they got to Yerushalayim, meaning the Beit HaMikdash was built, Nesru Abamot, V'lo Haya Lehem Heter, and now they'll never be permitted, and that's because this holds that, Kidsha L'Shata V'Kidsha L'Atid Lavo. Remember, it's the Kedusha lasts forever, and therefore there's never going to be Heter Abamot. V'hi Aita Nachala, right, and this was their Nachala, because it said, Ela Menucha V'Ela Nachala. So the Menucha was Shiloh, and the Nachala was Yerushalayim, right, because why? The difference, Menucha, then it was, there was menucha, but it wasn't the final resting spot. Nachala is, it was final. Kodshe kodshim nechalim lefnim minakla'im. Kodshim kalim umasir sheni lefnim minachoma. Right then, those have to be in within the walls of Yerushalayim. Kol akodeshim shikdisham b'shat yisur b'mot. Now we're going to get into a different issue. What if you were makdish them when there was yisur b'mot? Any krivan b'shat yisur b'mot. Mi b'chutz. Hare elu ba'aseh v'lo taseh v'chayavin alehem karet. If you take kodshim, that it, you designated them when there was Yisur Bamot, and you sacrificed them when there was Yisur Bamot. And so what are you going to be chayav? Karet, obviously, because and then you offered them up outside. Okay? In other words, everything was done when it was asur to do anything outside. And you did it outside. You're going to be chayav karet. And you're going to be chayav in aseh nalo taseh. And that comes from these psukim that we read before about that Moshe said to them, lo ta'asun kechol asher anachnu osim po ayom. Don't do, okay, there's your lo taseh. Right, and then the assay is, I forget what the assay is. We're going to get to it in the Gemara, okay? Second, Asara. Oh, no, sorry. I'm confusing it with a different thing. No, that was the earlier one. It's the Lot assay. That's from that Pasuk. They're going to say, Sham Ta'aleh, Rashi says, Kidyalfina Misham, Sham Ta'aleh, Sham Ta'aleh. You have to go there. You have to bring it to that place. And Pen Ta'aleh Olotecha from, right, also, lest you offer your sacrifices. That's going to be the lo taseh. Okay. Hikdishan b'shat heter b'mot. We saw this the other day. Remember the lo yizbechu odet zivcheihem, and they said, oh, that's all talking about when you designated it when it, you were allowed to do it outside. And then hikrivan b'shat isur b'mot. But by the time you sacrificed it, the Beit HaMikdash was already built, right? How many cases are going to be like this? A little strange. The pasuk would talk about this kind of situation, but yes, that's what they're saying. And then you offered up a chutz. Hare elu ba'ase v'lo ta'ase ve'en chayevin alehem karet. Okay, you're chayevin ase v'lo ta'ase, but you're not going to get karet for it. Hikdishan b'shat isur b'mot, v'ikrivan b'shat heter b'mot. What if you designated when b'mot were asurim? And then you sacrificed it when they were already allowed. This would have to be between the Mishkan of Shiloh, let's say, and after that, but not once the Ben Mikdash is built, because then they'll never be heter b'mot. Hare elu ba'ase ve'en b'hen lo ta'ase. Okay? That's only an Yisur Aseh, like not fulfilling the Aseh of bringing it to the right place, but you're not Chayav the Lo Taseh because at that point when you sacrificed it, it was already Heter Bamot. Ve'elu Kodashim Krevim B'Mishkan. Now these, now we're going to talk about what kind of Kodashim were they sacrificing in the Mishkan. Kodashim Shukdushu L'Mishkan, anything that was designated specifically for the Mishkan. What we're talking about now is when there was a Mishkan in Gilgal. When you're taught, now we're differentiating between a Bamat Tzibur and a Bamat Yachid. There's Bamot that were, when there wasn't the Mishkan in Shiloh with the Aaron, and there wasn't the Beit HaMikdash, but there were these temporary Bamot, but there was one big Bama, where, by the way, they also had the Mizbach and the Choshet of Moshe in there, if you remember, we talked about that. So you now have this big Bama. You're allowed to do Bamot otherwise. The question is, what can you bring where? So what would you bring to the big Bama? So anything that was designated for the Mishkan, someone said, I'm bringing a sacrifice for the Mishkan, would obviously go there. Okay, would have to go to the Mishkan. Okay. Kodashim shuk deshu le Mishkan, korbanot zibor, any public offerings, the korban tamid, the any of the korbanot tzibur. Krevim b'mishkan. B'korbanot ha'yachid, if a voluntary offering, the yachid offer b'bama. Okay, that would be on the regular small bamot. Korbanot ha'yachid shukdashu l'mishkan, but if someone said, I'm bringing my korban to the mishkan, then yakrivu b'mishkan. V'ini krivam b'bama patur, but if he did it in the bama anyway, he's exempt. Uma bein bama yachid l'bama tzibur, so what's the difference between them? Smicha u'shchita tzafon u'matan saviv u'tnufa v'hagasha. Okay, the difference between them is, on a bama tzibur, you're going to do smicha on the korban, you're going to do, it has to be shafted in the north, you have to do the matan damim on the kranot, and the tnufa, you have to wave it on hagasha. But you don't have to do that when you do a bama yachid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein mincha b'bama, there's no minachot in the bamot, okay, no minachot at all. Vicky, we saw this machloket before, were there minachot in the bamot or were there not? Vicky hun, there was no kiuna. Ubigde sharet, and if there was no kohanim, right, there was no special clothing either. Uklei sharet, there were no special kelim. V'reach nichach, you didn't have to have it reach nichach. Remember what we said that meant? You can't, what's the word, roast the meat before you burn it on the mizbech. Your whole roasting has to be on the mizbech so that it makes a nice smell, right? You always think of a good, yummy barbecue smell. It doesn't smell so good once the meat's already burnt. Umechitza ledamim, this is the chut ha-sikra. You didn't need the chut ha-sikra on the bamot, right, to separate from the top and the bottom. V'yichut tzedayim v'raglayim. And you didn't need this halacha of having to wash your hands and feet. Aval, what is applicable also, and they learn this from Zot Torat HaShlamim, which means it's the same for all Shlamim, and then within the context of that it discusses Pigol and Tameh, and for Pigol we learn Zerah Shabbat and Notar. So Zman, Notar, V'Tameh, Shavin, Zebazeh. They're going to be relevant even in the Bamot. If you say, I'm going to eat it outside the time, right, you have that thought while you're doing it, all those things are going to be relevant for all Korbanot, whether you're doing it in the Bama or whether you're not.